Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. The bros are back in town, as in the real bros of Simi Valley. Facebook Watch's popular series enters its third season this Friday, and co-creators Jimmy Satro and Christian A. Pierce join me next. You can do what you want to do in living color. With those words from Heavy D and the Boys, a groundbreaking mix of sketch comedy, music, and dance busted loose on Fox 30 years ago this April. We will celebrate in living color next half hour, an exclusive interview with co-star Tommy Davidson. Also ahead, another New Hampshire primary winner, Mighty Ducks reunite, and our classic trivia question. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio, and present on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get three free books when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in the program. A great Wednesday afternoon to you and all, and welcome again to a special midweek edition of the program All About Television. 46 degrees and bright and partly sunny at this hour in the New York metro area, and we're delighted that you are in for the ride. We have some wonderful guests coming away over the next hour, and it gets better when you are interacting with us. So pick up the phone and dial in with this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anyway. You'll catch us across the country or around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio. We got our chat room business for you. It's Simon Apple 04 by name. You'll find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. So use the phone or the room. Either way, you're interactive with us. And while the phone is on the air, you can connect to others by using Facebook Timeline. Pick up the Facebook icon, your Blog Talk speaker, or TuneIn screen. Follow the instructions. Other people will be live with you. Our dynamic duo from the Real Bros of Simi Valley will join us live from Los Angeles after these news notes. ABC's live episode of The Conners last night, incorporating New Hampshire primary results in the storyline, hit a viewership jackpot. Some 6.3 million people tuned in, the program's best live audience this season. Ratings for ABC's other Tuesday series, that's comedy-wise, Bless This Mess, Mixed Dish, and Blackish, also rose. As the debut of combo prison legal drama For Life, ABC attracted 3.1 million viewers to that opening installment. Discovery Channel will spend some late-night time next Tuesday, marking the 90th anniversary of scientists discovering Pluto. A-Team Pluto, or hashtag Team Pluto, I should say, will detail the discovery back in 1930 and the planet's official reclassification as a dwarf destination 14 years ago. Hold on to your hats, folks. The Mighty Ducks will return as a Disney Plus series this fall or 2021. Gilmore Girls co-star Lauren Graham will headline the series. It's an adaptation of the 1992 Walt Disney movie classic about a ragtag youth hockey team. Graham also will be a co-executive producer. 10 episodes are in play for the opening season. Now for quickies, former Legion executive producer John Cameron will oversee new HBO Max series Thursday. That will be Cameron's first assignment of the newest development series pack with Endeavor Content and Sharon Entertainment. You may remember that Cameron has been also a former executive producer with creator Noah Hawley of the popular FX series Fargo. Stephanie Elaine, the film producer who co-oversaw ABC's Academy Awards presentation Sunday night, won a multi-year series production deal with Warner Horizon Scripted TV. Elaine and her homegrown pictures company executive produced Dear White People and the acclaimed Netflix TV series of the same name. And finally, Emily Watson and Martin Freeman, he was also part of Fargo, will be top cast members of Angeline, Peacock's mini-series based on the LA Billboard icon's career. And that is news notes for today. And now it's time to meet the dynamic duo behind the popular Facebook Watch series, The Real Bros of Simi Valley. First, you may also know this person as one of the stars of the Peabody Award-winning series American Vandal on Netflix. The pleasure of welcoming this program, co-creator and star of Real Bros, Jimmy Tatro. Hi, Jimmy.
Hey, man. How you doing?
Excellent, thank you. And with both of us also is your colleague in crime, also co-creator of Real Bros, Christian A. Pierce. Christian, welcome in.
What's going on, Simon?
Well, quite a lot. As a matter of fact, we have Real T joining us into the chat room, so thank you for coming aboard. You have a question or comment for our guest, put it in the room or make that call and we'll get right to you. Jimmy, bring everybody up to speed about Real Bros. How's it been going getting season three together?
How do we get season three started?
Oh, how do we get season three started?
Yes, as we're putting it together, yes.
they put it together?
Oh, I mean, it started off as a YouTube series, you know, that was just kind of a self-finance for YouTube, and then, you know, shot it, made the show we wanted to make, and we were able to sell season two to Facebook. And luckily it turned into a bigger thing from there. And, you know, season two came out to about 160 minutes. Season three is looking like it's going to be 250-ish. So it's getting bigger, it's getting longer, and it's getting more exciting.
Mm-hmm. Christian, what was it like for both of you to develop this series? What did you I understand this is about, you know, four high school best friends, what they're dealing with in life these days. How did both of you come up with the idea?
We wanted to do a series of a sort on the YouTube channel, and at the time we were watching a bunch of we were seeing a lot of reality TV just, you know, go on a rise. There was a lot of new shows out, and we just thought the format was so funny, just seeing how you could make a lot of drama out of seemingly nothing. So, you know, we came up with the idea for our own version of the show, and it's been a lot of fun creating it ever since. You know, we get to riff on these jokes about these type of characters that we grew up around, and it's fun. It's a lot of, you know, laughs happen in the writing room and in the creative process.
We have a person just joined our chat room, Simon Apple 04 by name. Thanks for coming aboard. You have a question or comment for Jimmy and Christian, make the call 646-652-2906, or get your comment in the room, and the sooner you do, the sooner we bring it to everyone's attention. Jimmy, when you both of you focused on the characters, what did you draw upon? Your own high school experiences or people you know that thought, you know, this would be a great opportunity for satire?
Yeah, I mean, it was just, you know, we knew a lot of these. I mean, not knew a lot of these, but we were exposed to a lot of these deep valley bros throughout high school. And I think we both just always got a kick out of these, you know, low backwards hat wearing tank top, white sunglasses, monster truck bros. So when we started circling the idea to do a parody of a reality show, it just kind of seemed like a funny route to go in. But there's definitely some people in our real lives that have influenced these characters.
And Christian, anybody from your real life that pretty much comes to mind, right to the top of mind?
Yeah, definitely. Growing up in the San Fernando Valley, I was exposed to these kinds of people a lot. You know, not that they're like specific, you know, people we based it off of, but a lot of people I grew up around were influences for what we ended up writing in Real Bros. And I still think it's a hilarious type of character to write
about.
We're
not going
to
say any names, but Christian's boy Mike Schaefer definitely.
Shout out Mike. Mike, if you're listening to this.
Shout out Mike Schaefer.
Mike, you've been exposed, or they say you got served. Jimmy, by the way, this, as you said, came out of a YouTube channel, which has been around for a while. You've had, like, what, 3-4 million subscribers to it. What's it like to sort of have your own YouTube channel and being able to develop the concept from start to where it's at now?
It's cool. You know, it puts you in a position to have a lot of creative control and to really make it the way you want to make it. And I think one of the reasons the show has been so successful is because we did it that way, and we, you know, made the show we wanted to make, and we didn't have to, you know, go through the process that the more traditional route where you, you know, have to shape a pitch to, you know, fit in certain spots. So we just kind of made the show we wanted to make, and luckily we found a good match with Facebook Watch. So yeah, I mean, I think doing it that way just kind of allows for more creative control, which results in better stuff, in my opinion.
And Christian, say more about what makes a Simi Valley bro. What other characteristics are there besides what you just named?
Oh man, well you got to love trucks. Trucks are a big deal. Motocross is a big deal. You know, wakeboarding on the weekends at the nearby lake if you have time. You got to have a boat, you know, those kinds of toys like that, dirt bikes and boats. You got to have the shades to match your monster energy can. You know, you got to wear tank tops, Dickie shorts, you know, white socks halfway up the calf.
Your sunglasses have to look like they were ripped off the face of a Transformer.
Exactly.
So there's quite a lot in terms of the look of the person as much as the character, what's inside.
It's a look and it's a vibe, Simon. You know, it's all-encompassing.
Well, we got the vibe going today with Jimmy Tatchell and Christian A. Pierce. They are the co-creators. Jimmy is also the star of The Real Bros of Simi Valley. And on Friday, it kicks off season number 3 at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, on Facebook Watch, which is available on smart TV sets and smart devices, including Facebook's own smart TV product, Portal TV, which has been on the marketplace since September, started as a video chat service, and now is a full-blown smart TV project. More to be at that in a couple of moments. And they are with us live from Los Angeles this half hour. On Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Simon and I will be live from New York, the other side of the U.S. today. If you have a question or comment for our guest, make the phone ring 646-652-2906 or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Friday, Hulu is premiering 2 new series, one you probably have heard about called High Fidelity, based on the classic cult movie starring John Cusack, getting a lot of rave reviews in advance. But the other you might not know is called Utopia Falls. It's a mix of science fiction, the environment, a very young cast, music, hip-hop, and other dancing. We will talk about this show, which premieres on Friday, with its creator and director, R.T. Thorne. He certainly also made a very interesting series a couple years ago called Find Me in Paris, still playing the new episodes. Very interesting show, one of the best teenager shows I've created in quite some time. We'll also talk with the executive producer of the series, Andrea Gerfologa. That's all coming up Friday on Swappy Televised, and that's just the first half hour. On the second half hour, Epic Sunday Night premieres the new version of War of the Worlds, a classic H.G. Wells tale starring Gabriel Byrne and Elizabeth McGovern. Creator, writer, and executive producer award winner Howard Overman will also be with us on Friday. Again, at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, right here. Exclusively on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Jimmy, how have the characters progressed from first season to now?
What was that?
The characters have progressed from season 1 to now in a way that, like, we've continued, the seeds we planted for them in the beginning, we've still grown upon those themes and those arcs and just taken them to the next level and have just evolved them into even realer people.
I think what's cool with the way the characters have grown is, you know, in season 1, when you're talking about who these characters are and where they come from, you're talking about things that they haven't really seen. You're just kind of like building a past. Whereas now on season 3, when we're referring to, you know, why the characters are in the mindsets and points that they're at, you've kind of been with them for that journey and you've seen where they're coming from. So it's just a much cooler, more fun spot to be in with all these characters' storylines because the audience can really understand where they're coming from because they've seen where they're coming from instead of just kind of it being up to their imagination.
Mm-hmm. And Christian, what are some of the situations that they deal with in this season 3?
Oh, man. I don't want to give away too much, Simon, but there's a good amount of heartbreak on different levels. There's some betrayal they have to deal with. There's some life-changing decisions, and there's also some blasts from the past. They're forced to confront some elements of their past.
Yeah, and my character tries to fight his mom.
And, yeah, Jimmy's character tries to fight his mother.
Like a fist fight, not
with
a verbal.
Shirt off.
Yeah.
Ooh. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
That's certainly making some dramatic tension out there. Now,
do you have any experience with stuff
mentioned,
like that, Simon?
Not with mom. Not that way. I got a great mom and a great dad, and two terrific parents that gave us all space to pursue the kind of careers we wanted to pursue. Really, really, really special.
Well, I think you take them both, Simon.
Yeah. Just because they're nice doesn't mean you can't fight them with your shirt off.
I wonder what my mom would say about that, or my dad, or my brother. I'll have to ask them first. And we'll take that conversation offline. Jimmy, talk about the other people you deal with that make up this quartet. Tanner Petula, Nick Coletti, Cody Coe. How did you find them or cast them into the program? And how is their interplay with each other and with you? How has that grown over the 3 seasons?
We linked up with them. We had, you know, I knew about them through Vine. They were like the only people I really thought were funny on that whole platform. And then the girls, I had done their show, and they kind of put me in touch with Colleen, who plays Molly. So most of the cast was, you know, just friends. We didn't really have to do too much of a casting couch process, but you know, it's we've grown closer and closer, and you know, now we're all pretty good friends at this point.
Christian, did you say that that you're working with a writing team for the first time, as opposed to just you and Jimmy together developing everything?
No, dude, it's still just me and Jimmy. That's the whole team, which is great. So we would know it's really just control, you know, the final product and have our hands in everything. And yeah, I think it works best with just us two, at least on, you know, on this project.
Would you ever consider bringing a writer in or director in to sort of take some of the responsibility out?
No, probably not. And I it's hard. I don't like trust a lot of people, so that'd be like a whole vetting process.
Yeah, it's better with it in our hands. You know, me and Christian write the whole thing. I direct it, so it's like it stays very much within, you know, our control. And I think that's the way the show is, the way it is.
Both of you, how do you explain your writing style? Do you write, for example, in an episode, do you write it together? Do you, you know, assign portions of an episode? Like, Jimmy, you take portions of an episode or a particular character storyline. Christian takes the other, vice versa. How do you put the episodes together, writing one?
We sit in the same room, which we have a new writing room in Jimmy's back house, which is great. And we have a bunch of whiteboards in that room. And, you know, we map out, like, the bigger season arcs where we think we want the characters and the stories to go. And we plot point, like, things and events that we for sure want to happen. And we kind of map the story around those things and, like, reverse engineer our way towards and away from those bigger plot points. Like, we definitely need to happen to those bigger jokes. But we're both in the room at the same time working on the same thing. And we take it from start to finish.
And Jimmy, how would you describe your directing style? Who's like? Do you have a role model for directing, and do you apply that role model in what you do?
I don't know. I have like a role model. There's definitely a lot of people that I look up to, a lot of directors that you know, I respect and look up to, and have worked with, and you know, tried to learn from. But I, you know, try to make sure to get what we have on the page, and then, you know, also let the actors, have fun with it for the last couple takes. I think a lot of the funny moments in this show come from those natural improv moments. And especially with a show like this, that you want to feel real and feel like a reality show, it's really important to make it feel, you know, captured and not scripted. So there's a big effort to make things feel like they're coming up unexpectedly, and sometimes the best way to do that is with actual improv.
Mm-hmm. Christian, how much do you devote with improv with the actors? How much leeway do you and Jimmy give them?
I mean, it's, you know, we definitely need to get what's on the page in order to make the storylines make sense. But you know, we let them kind of go. You know, we need to stay within the framework of what's happening in the scene, obviously. But you know, a lot of the funniest moments come from things that are just, you know, we just kind of start exploring once they start coming up naturally. And you know, I like being open to letting those moments happen.
We've got Jimmy Tetro and Christian A. Pierce with us. They're the co-creators, writers, in Jimmy's case, director, and also star of The Real Bros of Simi Valley, starting season 3 this Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, on Facebook Watch. Don't forget, Facebook Watch available on smart TV sets and smart devices, including Facebook's own Portal TV. And if you want to know more about Portal TV and why it has now become Facebook's entry in the smart TV set and device universe, check out my new column on it. It was posted yesterday at MediaVillage.com. It's the media leadership website, MediaVillage.com. Jimmy, Christian, joining us live from Los Angeles this half hour on Tomorrow We Televise. Coming up, I'm with you from the other half of the U.S. of A. That's New York, where it's now 46 degrees at the top of the hour. If a question or comment or any moments with Jimmy and Christian, make the phone go 646-652-2906 or use our chat room, Simon Apple 04 by name. We have a nice President's Day treat for you next Monday on Suave Televised. If you're a fan of The Flash, the popular CW superhero series, we have one of the co-stars for you, Victoria Parr. We'll talk to her about what she does on The Flash and off the screen as well, too. Victoria Parr, co-star of The Flash, one of my guests on Monday, our President's Day edition of Suave Televised, 3 p.m. Eastern New Pacific, that's next Monday right here on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, and TuneIn Radio. Jimmy, I mentioned in the opener that you also were involved with American Vandal, the prize-winning Netflix series. What was it like doing that program, and was there anything you gained from that experience that you bring to Real Bro?
I'm sorry, say the last part one more time.
Yes, I was wondering, anything that you took from the experience doing American Vandal, which was a mockumentary program, which won the Peabody Award, but also won the Peabody Award 2 years ago, and what did you bring to that, to Real Bros?
Yeah, I definitely learned a lot from that director and from the way that they shot that whole thing. There was a huge effort on that show to make it feel as real as possible, which is another thing that we're trying to do with Real Bros as well. American Vandal was obviously a different kind of, you know, thing. It was a documentary and not a reality show. But, you know, we used a lot of, like, similar styles of shooting and just, you know, making things feel like, you know, like if a character goes running off somewhere that we weren't planning on, you don't want things to feel too set up. You want to make an effort to feel like, you know, where would these cameras realistically be given what's happening in the scene instead of just kind of shooting it like you would a normal show. So a lot of that, I learned a lot from American Vandal, and, you know, they did such a great job with the way that they executed all of that, that it really helped to see all of that.
Christian, what kind of feedback are you and Jimmy getting from the Facebook Watch audience to Real Bros? What's the most interesting reaction that, whether by social media or letters or email, that you've gotten so far?
It's been pretty positive overall, which is great. And the cool thing about Facebook Watch is that there's like transparency to it, so you can like interact with your fans and like really get a good gauge of how they're feeling about the content we're putting out. And it's been overall pretty positive. And, you know, we try to keep in mind how the fans feel and react when we're writing, you know, the next season. And, you know, we have Instagram accounts for all of the characters as if they're living in the real world. And, you know, that helps promote the show. And we have a lot of fun doing it, a lot of fun seeing how the fans react to everything.
Jimmy, how is the YouTube channel going? And then where do you see that going, especially now that more people are watching YouTube on the television set?
The YouTube channel has kind of taken a back seat. Just there just hasn't been much time lately to make YouTube videos. And I've also just kind of grown away from YouTube as a platform kind of in general. It was just not a place where I could really make the things that we wanted to make. And, you know, luckily we're in a position where we have a show with Facebook. We're doing what we want to do here. And right now, you know, it's not like I'm never going to put anything up on YouTube again, but it's definitely not the priority at the moment while we're developing these bigger things that have been the goal from the get-go. And kind of the whole point of doing these YouTube videos in the first place was to get into a position we are now. So while we're doing those things, the YouTube's going to kind of take a back seat, but, you know, we'll make some sketches eventually.
Yeah.
Maybe.
And Christian, how long do you see Real Bros going? And do you see, you know, you and Jimmy becoming continued entrepreneurs in this expanding world of television, doing other TV shows, maybe forming your own production company, and trying to get you know, a deal? We now, like every day, you're hearing about a deal with a major producer, whether from film or television or somewhere, making a deal with the likes of a Netflix or Warner Brothers or Lionsgate, et cetera, et cetera.
I definitely see myself and Jimmy, you know, continuing to grow as creators, as writers, directors, actors, and producers. So there's a lot to come, and I'm excited for it all. What was the first part of your question?
How long?
I don't know, man. Like, we have so much fun doing it. We're not trying to think about the end yet, per se. But, you know, we still have some gas in the tank, so we'll just take it day by day for now.
And one other thing, how do you keep the fun going? How do you, beyond season three, how do you keep the fun going? What do you do, let's say, in terms of character development or things you do on the set that allow everyone to sort of keep having fun, keep having great camaraderie? There we go. Got that word out.
Yeah, it's just, you know, keeping the – we try to stay inspired, you know, keep the sativa flowing, sometimes indica, and just have as much fun in the writing room as we possibly can and just keep living real life because, you know, life inspires the art. So if we stop living that, you know, dank fun life, then we can't really keep, you know, these ideas coming.
Yeah, and we just kind of keep the, you know, the vibe pretty relaxed on set and, you know, make sure the cast is all – having a good time, even if we're stressed out and not. So I think it's generally a pretty laid back and fun set to be on.
If you haven't checked out The Real Bros of Simi Valley, you can do it starting this Friday with season three opens up at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Facebook Watch. Facebook Watch available on most smart TV sets and smart devices, including other devices. And it's also available on Portal TV, which is available from Facebook at Facebook.com. And remember, you can catch Facebook.com's programming and find out more about it online at www.facebook.com/watch. That's www.facebook.com/watch for more details about The Real Bros and all the variety of Facebook Watch programming you get on your local smart TV set or smart TV device. TV Talk Show, Chris Napier, thank you both for coming on. Pleasure to have you both on. Congrats on going forward with Season 3. Hopefully more long run later on, and the best of luck to both of you. It's been a pleasure.
We appreciate you, Simon. Stay late, bro.
All right, will do, Jimmy and Christian. Take care.
All right. See you, man.
Jimmy Tetro and Christian A. Pierce joining us live from Los Angeles. More tomorrow we televised coming your way, but first, some words from the fine folks at Audible.com. There's a lot of great audio listening you can get with a trial run at Audible.com, such as The New Girl by Daniel Silva. It's a very unique tale. You know, they know the story. New person comes into a community or a school or a church, and everybody gets a little uptight about who is that person, especially that person is very mysterious. Well, this tale by Daniel Silva takes things a whole different universe bigger. That's The New Girl by Daniel Silva, and that could be one of the books you can get in audio form with a trial subscription, 1 month trial, to Audible.com. Remember, Audible.com is the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment, information, and inspiration. Over 100,000 titles to choose from. You can listen on any device and whoever you're hearing us on right now at Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio, plus iRadio too. Remember, if you sign up at audibletrial.com/televised, that's audibletrial.com/televised, you get not one, not two, but three free audio books. And a one-month trial to take them out and give them a great ride. And by the way, two of those three audiobooks come from the growing catalog of Audible Originals. That's original audio productions, best of Broadway, off-Broadway, and regional theater, and the best one-woman and one-man shows around. And if you turn your one-month trial into a four-month subscription before President's Day next Monday, you get a discount on the price. That's right, a discount on the monthly price. So, hear for yourself how Audible.com can transform the way you hear the world. Check out audibletrial.com/televised today. That's audibletrial.com/televised. You are listening to Tomorrow Be Televised. We have a program all about the two. We're coming your way Mondays and Fridays, and today a special Wednesday or midweek edition right here on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, as well as TuneIn Radio. We're now in our second week there. And, of course, the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. Remember, if you want to catch replays of our show at TuneIn Radio and iHeartRadio, just go to their respective websites, put Tomorrow Be Televised in the search bar, click, and you get episodes right then and there. Remember, we're also available on podcasts at iTunes, Apple TV, and the Spreaker podcast app, and of course, at our homepage, 24/7, www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. Coming up next, our classic trivia question of the week. Get your thinking caps ready. You could win The 5-Second Rule, the book by author and syndicated talk show host Mel Robbins. But first, live from Los Angeles, as was promised on Monday, we finally have it today, the co-star of In Living Color, Tommy Davidson. That groundbreaking series has a 30th anniversary celebration from Fox this April, and we'll also hear about Tommy's new book, living in color. We'll get to all that after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. You are hearing the best internet radio in the galaxy on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneInRadio.com. More than 40 million listeners around the world every month and growing. BTR is your home for Live Radio. Check it out tomorrow, 12:30 p.m. Eastern Time, 9 p.m. Pacific. That's Live Radio, L-I-V, right here on BTR, Blog Talk Radio, and Spreaker. And don't forget, Best of BTR coming your way 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to the second half of Tomorrow Be Televised. Welcome to those of you just joining us at the bottom of the hour. Simon Appel, I'm with you live from New York, 46 degrees at the top of the hour. If you have a question or comment for our next guest, make that phone go at 646-652-2906 or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. And before we get Tommy Davidson of The Living Color on, let's do our classic trivia question of the week. If you're first with the correct answer, you win the 5-second rule, the international best-selling book by author and syndicated talk show host Mel Robbins. Here's the question. What local TV co-host became co-star on The Jeffersons? What local TV co-host became co-star on The Jeffersons? If you know the answer, email me, SimonApple04@yahoo.com. It's SimonApple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to enclose your name and where you're emailing from, full mailing address, that is. And if you're first with the correct answer, you will win the 5-second rule by Mel Robbins. Let me give you the question one more time. What local TV co-host became co-star on The Jeffersons? And if you missed the question that second ago, we will post it tomorrow on Facebook and on Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. That's at UBC Simon TWBT. Remember, in order to win, you got to put in. So do so, and all the very best. And in the meantime, I want to let you know that you can use that email address, SimonApple04@yahoo.com, to let us know what you think about our program, the guests and topics we have. And also, if you have an idea for a topic for our feature call-in show to know, is there a TV show you like that doesn't get enough attention? Not well promoted, not well marketed, publicized? Well, we'd like to hear from you. And if you are the person with the suggestion and we use it, you, of course, get the credit. But you ought to make it happen because we got to let you know and let us know about it. So if you have that show to know idea, email me, SimonApple04@yahoo.com. Sooner we know, sooner we can consider it to discuss on the program. At SimonApple04@yahoo.com. And don't forget, you can also communicate with me on Facebook and on Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. That's at UBC Simon TWBT. And we always appreciate what you have to say. We do respond in 24 hours. As we say at the end of the program, every episode, what you say matters now more than ever. All right, we're waiting for Tommy Davidson, the co-star of Living Color, to check in with us. And as soon as I see that he is ready to go, we will put him on the air. As I mentioned at the top, In Living Color is going to be marking its 30th anniversary of its debut on Fox this April. And if you've never seen Living Color, it is really very special. It's one of the groundbreaking shows of all time in the world of television. Some people called it sort of a diversity Saturday Night Live, but when you really watch the show, it's much, much more than that. A lot of great talent came from that program. Of course, its originator, Keen Ivory Wayans, Kim Wayans, Damon Wayans, Marlon Wayans, Sean Wayans, Jim Carrey, Kelly Cofield, Jamie Foxx, Alexander Wentworth, the Fly Girls, including Carrie Ann Inaba, and, of course, Jennifer Lopez later on, Rosie Perez, the choreographer on the show, and, of course, Tommy Davidson. And Tommy has put together a book that came out a few weeks ago called Living in Color. That's right, Living in Color. Nice little takeoff on the original title. What's Funny About Me? It's published by Kensington Books, and we are going to offer it as a Constitution Question Prize starting next week. All right, so we're waiting for Tommy to come aboard. And, Tommy, if you're hearing us, give us a call, 646-652-2906. And as soon as that we hear that you're ready to go, I see it on our computer screen, we will put you on the air. So while we wait for you, again, I want to let our folks know, our listeners, that coming up Friday on Tomorrow Be Televised, we will focus first on the new Hulu series, Utopia Falls, with its creator, director, and executive producer, R.T. Thawne. Guess what? I think we are ready to go. Joining us live from Los Angeles, an Emmy exclusive, co-star of In Living Color, Tommy Davidson. Tommy, welcome in.
Yeah, yeah. Let's go.
You are on, Tommy. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Hey, thanks for having me, man.
You are very welcome. Well, 30 years later, what do you think is the legacy of In Living Color?
Funny, funny, and then funny. I think we are the funniest thing to happen in the whole decade of the decade of the 90s, and I think we're one of the funniest to happen in the modern era as far as sketch comedy goes.
How did you get involved with the series, and how did Keenan Ivory Wayans put it together?
Actually, I auditioned, and Keenan had his hand on every hot comic during that time, and so he was already working on his brainchild. He just was like Professor Xavier. He just brought us all in at one time, took us to the mansion, worked us out, put us on TV, and we got the job done.
As one of the co-stars, Tommy, how soon did you realize that there was something very special with this program, with this cast, with how everybody from Jim Terry to the Fly Girls to Keenan and his family, everyone involved was able to put this together and make it a classic, almost an instant classic?
From the first time we got together and we started doing sketches, it's like we already had a rhythm, you know? It's like, you know, you meet somebody and you know it's the right person. You just start getting that feeling. That's what the feeling that we all had. And especially me, because, you know, I love teams and to be a team player. And they were the perfect team.
I watched the show from the get-go, and I still remember that opening night. And to watch that opening title with Heavy D and the Boys, to watch the Fly Girls go with Rosie Perez choreographing it behind the scenes, to see all of you do your thing. It seemed that just from the get-go, there was this, we are going to do our own thing with sketch comedy, and we're going to make it fly, and if the audience finds it, great. If the audience doesn't find it, we'll keep going until they do. And it just seemed that there was this vibe, this incredible spirit with the characters, with the whole pace of the show, that just made it very special.
Yeah, from the very start. But I had no idea that was going to last so long after the show was off the air. And like you're saying, you know, it left such a lasting impression on you and people like you that you guys actually keep it alive because you guys believe what we believe, that it was special.
What was your favorite character or favorite situation to play on Living Color?
Probably MC Hammer, because MC Hammer was so hot at the time. It would be like it would be the equivalent of me doing Drake now, you know?
Did he ever comment? Did he ever get back to you and say, you got me?
Always. What, are you kidding me? That's the game we play.
The rhythm of the show, let me step back a second. I had the opportunity to meet the Fly Girls at the Western Cable Show in Anaheim, California. I think it was between the first and second season. And I asked the Fly Girls, this was when Carrie Noble was part of it, Jennifer Lopez, it came on in a later season. But I asked them how long it takes to do those bumpers, what they call in the business bumpers, the 45-second routines before and after commercials. They said 8 hours a day to do those quick routines, as well as the opening of the show and the end of the
show. 8 hours a day.
How long did it take to do the routines, to come up with the characters you did, like MC Hammer, or the Bill the Fireman that Jim Carrey played, or other characters that different people in the cast did?
12 hours a day, at least.
And then what was the process like for you to develop your characters, for you to interplay with the likes of a Jim Carrey or David Alan Grier or Kelly Cofield or Jamie Foxx later on?
Well, you know, it worked like the same for all of us. We would take our idea to the writers. We'd say who we wanted in the sketch. They would come in with their ideas. The writer would write it up, and then we would enhance the idea as we go.
You're hearing Tommy Davidson. He is one of the co-stars of In Living Color. It is a classic, and it started on Fox 30 years ago this April. And In a moment, we're going to talk about the book that he wrote just recently about that experience and a whole lot more. It's called Living in Color, What's Funny About Me. It's published by Kensington Books, and we're going to offer the prize starting next week here on Why We Televise on our classic trivia thing. If you have a question or comment for Tommy, ring the phone, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Before we get to your book, Tommy, what was it like to work with Keenan? What kind of a person was he doing that show, also developing his own characters, you know, spearheading everything, at least the first couple of seasons?
You're talking about Jim?
About Keenan Ivory Wayans.
Well, Keenan already had an idea of what he wanted to do, and he always has an idea of what he wants to do. So he wasn't hard to work with because he was like our fearless leader, and he knew all our skills. He knew what we were best at, so he would pick what we were best at, match that with the writer, or match us up with other sketch artists to execute his plans, you know, and we trusted him.
And when he left the show because of the issues he had with Fox, how did everybody come together to keep it going for another couple of years? What changes were made?
Mm-hmm. Because we loved it. We loved it so much. And we knew what it meant to our audience. We knew our audience didn't have anything like that. Mm-hmm. So we were determined to keep that thing on the air.
You know, watching the show, I really enjoyed the variety of characters and the variety of situations. The Man on Film character with the two film critics taking Siskel and Ebert to the hills. Homie the Clown, Homie Don't Play That, is still one of the great, I think, punchlines or tag cue lines of many TV series in recent years. People still, I'm sure, talk to Dan Williams about that. Was there an effort, by the way, to come up with gag lines or punchlines like that that people remember, you know, lines that would be, you know, associated with the show?
I think we already had it all in us. You know, we already had our own language. So it wasn't hard. We just started really expressing ourselves. Since it was the first time everyone heard it, it was already in us, then it became something that just spread out. It became like colloquialisms for America.
Have you had a chance, by the way, in the years since to be with Keenan, be with his family, be with Jim, be with Kelly, be with Janie? Do you get a chance still to see each other? And is there like a 30th anniversary reunion of some sort?
Yeah, and I'm hoping it'll happen soon. It's really up to Keenan. But I really would like to get together with the guys and the girls, and we just have some fun again because we miss each other. We really miss each other.
Let's talk about the book. Why did you decide this is the time to do it, as opposed to, let's say, the 25th anniversary, 5 years ago, the 20th anniversary? What had you reach the conclusion, this is the perfect time for me to do this?
My sister called me, and my sister said, you know what, you never talk about our mom, you know? And I realized after my mom passed away that while she was alive, I didn't talk about her a lot because it was such a different situation. I was actually embarrassed by her when I was a kid, and I didn't know that that was lingering in my adult life. And it became obvious that now I need to talk to everyone about her, because she's the reason why everyone knows my name. She's the reason why. And she's the reason why I'm the person I am. And so this journey that I took from the beginning of my life all the way through Hollywood to standing here currently has everything to do with her influence and the events that took place that put me with her.
I understand that she was your adopted mother. What
mm-hmm.
did she instill in you that forwarded you and forwarded your career to do comedy?
Well, she always taught me to be fair to people. She always taught me to be happy, and she always taught me to be useful, a useful person. to myself and to others. And so how much more useful can I get if my job is doing happy? Everywhere I go, when I do comedy, I'm like, you know how they deliver the pizza? I deliver the laughs, you know?
In your current role in comedy, what do you like doing best? Do you like stand-up? Do you like guest shots on shows? Do you like voiceover? I know that you're one of the key voiceover people for one of my favorite animated shows of recent memory, The Proud Family, which is one of the Disney Channel's most popular animated series.
Well, it's like asking which one of my kids I like over the other one, you know? But I do have a favorite when it comes to my talent, and I think it's stand-up. Stand-up is my favorite because I don't have to depend on anyone else to do it. I could just get on the stage, you can give me a mic, or even if you can just hear me, I'll make something happen.
What is stand-up like now compared to the time you did Live in Color? How has it evolved? How have people evolved?
I think it's matured with me and become a lot more insightful. Like I can convey ideas. I can convey more ideas in a less amount of time and in a more simpler way. So I've evolved, you know, and my subject matter, and I go from subject matter to subject matter, but my seems to me my subject matter right now goes right along with my arc in life, which is to be fair, to be useful, and to be happy. And it is dispensed to everyone, any race, any religion, any background, any economic background, you know, in all the things that separate us, it's the one thing that binds us. And that is the part of my comedy that is now sort of defining itself.
I understand that you were discovered at the Apollo Theater, one of the great landmarks of any form of entertainment. What's it like to be on that stage and to have that opportunity discovered before that multitude?
It was, at the time, the best thing that ever happened to me, and I can say it's one of the best things that happened to me in general, because I was standing on the stage with legends, people that I can't even hold a candle to their career, you know, the longevity of their career and the amount and quality of the content of their created, what they created, and just sheer numbers.
We are speaking with Tommy Davidson, one of the co-stars of In Living Color, and I'm sure somebody, some channel, or YouTube is playing an episode somewhere in the world at this hour. And also, Tommy has a book out, and you ought to read it. It's called Living in Color, What's Funny About Me. It's from Kensington Books, and you can get about more details about it at kensingtonbooks.com. And starting on Monday, we will offer a copy of that book as a prize in our classic trivia question of the week segment. Tommy, I wanted to ask you about something else you did, which I thought was very interesting because I didn't catch it. You at one point were the sidekick to Irvin Johnson on when he did his show, The Magic Hour. Talk about that experience.
I'm glad you mentioned that because people hardly remember that thing. But it was an opportunity for me that was just really special. Let me see. I'm working with one of the best basketball players of all time. And we're doing a TV show together. The end.
And also one of the best entrepreneurs of all time. Still is, too.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, when you went in every night or every taping these sets, you know, and sort of develop, how did you develop, you know, the relationship with Irvin? Because it's a very interesting, the idea of host sidekick it's always very interesting. Really, there's chemistry involved. You were also, you came in sort of midway through the run of the show, of the Magic Hour. What was it like to sort of, get up to speed being a sidekick, and B, at the same time, developing the chemistry, developing the rapport with Irvin?
It didn't have to happen. It was already there. You know, we had been friends for several years anyway, and we speak the same language. You know, he plays professional sports like I do comedy. He shares that ball, you know, and he likes to win, and I like to have laughs. You know, I like to, my goal is to make people happy. His goal is to make shots, you know, and we both do it to make people happy. So it was already there.
I'll tell you, I think if that had gone on another year longer, I think the show would have found its rhythm. In terms of a full rhythm, I know there were people who were like down on Jonathan because of he was like getting up to speed as a host. But I think when you came on, things started to really gel, I think, and they were starting to really move. And if the show had gone another year, I think it would have worked. I think the personal thought, I think the show would have made it.
Yeah, you know, you're right. You're actually right. And it was just, you know, it just didn't work out. But, you know, things don't work on the television not because they're not good. Sometimes things just don't work out because they don't work out for business reasons.
Well, one of the things that did work out for you, Tommy, post the Living Code, was the Proud Family. What was it like doing that program? And I understand that there may be a possibility that Disney Channel or Disney Plus may bring that animated series back.
It's already back, and it is on Disney Plus, and we are happy as can be to have it around. Especially me, you know, especially me. It's a worthwhile, very quality project, and millions of kids are entertained by that project. What better claim can I have than that?
Are you back with many of the original cast members of the show, or are you working with new people doing the same roles? How far into the production are you?
I think we're only one cast member short of having the original cast, and that's really good, especially since it's been 15 years or more since we did it.
And it was made by the creator of BB's Kids, the acclaimed movie.
Yeah.
His name escapes me, but he's a fantastic animator producer.
Yeah. Bruce Smith, and who just recently won an Oscar.
Oh, for what?
You know what? I don't know. I wish I knew. And I wish I was there that night too.
Anyway. Keep us posted when Proud Family comes on. I'd love to have Bruce on and you on, and maybe some of the other cast members do a whole thing on that show. I was a big fan of Proud Family when it was on Disney Channel, and I'm thrilled it's back on Disney Plus, and I think it's going to have a whole new generation of fans, plus the fans that saw it way back when. By the way, before
would you like me to put you in touch with Bruce?
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. Love to have
just
him on.
Just before you hang up, make sure you – okay. Before you hang up, make sure you give me your info.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what. I will contact.
I have your number.
Publicist. Yeah. Okay.
No, I can do it. I'll do it direct.
All right, we'll make it happen. We will make it happen. You got
it. Yeah,
I'll
make it happen. He'll text you or call you or whatever.
Okay, you got it. And before we go, any last thoughts about your time on Living Color and do you think that maybe that something like it will come back at some point?
Yeah, and it may be up to me at this point. It may be up to me.
Sounds like entrepreneurial juices.
Yeah, flowing all the time. It's about that time for me.
Mm-hmm. It is. It is. Again, somewhere, somehow, some way, Living Color is playing somewhere in this country or in this world. And if you've never seen Living Color, please do. It is really one of the great, great shows of its kind. And for those who don't know, In his first season, and this is a rare thing to do, he won the Emmy Award for Outstanding Comedy Variety Series in his first season. And that's a very special honor
mm-hmm.
unto itself.
Mm-hmm.
The name of the book, Living in Color, What's Funny About Me by Tommy Davidson. It's available now at bookstores all over the country. I'm sure it's also available online through Amazon and other online booksellers. For more details about the book online, Living in Color, What's Funny About Me, go to www.kensingtonbooks.com. That's www.kensingtonbooks.com. And that will be offered the prize next Monday for our next Classic Trivia Question of the Week segment. Tommy, thank you very, very much. It has been a delight to have you on. Congratulations to you and Keenan and everybody involved with Living Color on the 30th anniversary coming up. I hope you have a fantastic celebration. And I said this earlier on the phone, I'll say it again to you. I hope Keenan does another program. It's time for Keenan to be back in TV, and I hope he finds the way to do it because it's time.
I totally agree. Thank you so much. Great interview.
Thank you so much, Tommy. It's a pleasure.
What's your name again?
Simon Applebaum.
Applebaum?
Yeah.
Okay, Applebaum. Got it.
Mm-hmm. And one more
time, you
can do what you want to do in Living Color. Tommy, all the greatest. Take care.
Thank you so much.
Tommy Davidson, co-star of Living Color, joining us live from Los Angeles. Thanks to Tommy. Thanks to Jimmy Castro. Thanks to Chris A. Pierce for a wonderful hour. Hope you tuned in, and hope you enjoyed it. And if you did, be back with us on Friday. One of my guests will be from the new Hulu series, Utopia Falls, creator, director, executive producer, R.T. Thorne, executive producer, Andrea Glitifalova. And from the new epic series, War of the Worlds, with Gabriel Byrne and Elizabeth Govern, creator, writer, executive producer, Howard Overman. And then next Monday, our President's Day show, we'll have the co-star of The Flash, Victoria Park. If you came in late on today's program, you want to catch up on episodes you missed, go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. Check out the podcast version, available 24/7, on iTunes, Apple TV, Spreaker Podcast app, and of course, TuneIn.com and iHeartRadio.com. And the last two, go to those websites, put the Tommy Televised in the search bar, click, and you're in. What do you think of our program today? I'd love to know what you thought about it in Living Color, if you saw it, or if you've seen it since its original run on Fox. What's your thought for where TV is at and where it's going? I'd love to hear. So email me, SimonApple04@Yahoo.com. That's SimonApple04@Yahoo.com. Remember, that's how you're involved in our Classic Trivia Question of the Week and our Show to Know feature. And also, you can find me on Facebook. Follow me on Twitter at UBCSimonTWBT. That's UBCSimonTWBT. However you communicate with us, we do communicate back within 24 hours. And remember, we love hearing what you have to say. So say it, because what you say matters now more than ever. The views expressed in this program are those of the participants, not only those of Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio, and iHeartRadio. Our production associate BTR is Candace Williams. Andy Toews, Blog Talk Radio's general manager, with Jay Sonnenberg, executive content producer. The co-founders of Blog Talk Radio are Alan Levy and Bob Cherish. Tomorrow's Televised is brought today by Audible.com and Amazon Company. Remember, Audible transformed the way you hear the world. For a 3-book, 1-month trial, it's audibletrial.com/televised. And don't forget, if you make that subscription before Monday, President's Day, you will save big on the per-monthly fee. For Tomorrow's Televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening. Again, thank you to all of our guests. Remember, we are here, and we want to hear from you. We'll be back less than 48 hours, Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, you know where, Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio, and the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. Wherever you're up to between now and then, please make it safe and make it great. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned. And once again, remember, you can do what you want to do in Living Color.